Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show.
You're listening to The Shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Mark Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Danny Wampus.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. It's another Tuesday. It's pretty desolate outside. It's weird. Even though it's like springtime, it seems to be getting darker and darker earlier, which isn't supposed to do for another couple of months. But yeah, so I am here, as usual, Tuesdays, 9 p.m. UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com, as I've already said. Giving you your weekly gaming news. Not so much the topics this week, it's more of a personal thought, really. But I say I do plan on a decent topic for next week. I am going to require a bit of listener interaction. But I'll basically get to what I've been playing this week, which is pretty much nothing, to be honest, because I have been listening to a couple of new shows that we do have on the station. We have Cut Print Film, which is film show... Really good, actually. I mean, both these new shows, all the hosts are very sick and twisted and fucked up. So basically, they fit in very well with the rest of us on the station. But yeah, also, the Shy podcast, I've listened to both these shows today, and they are fucking excellent. Really, really good. Really, really funny. It's literally, it's weird to listen to shows out in the public, especially with me, because I giggle a lot and I look like a fucking moron when I'm sort of literally just listening to these shows, trying to not burst out laughing in front of all the general public. I look like a crazy person. But yeah, I say I've been listening to them. They're really good shows. Great bunch of guys. Make sure you're listening to them, because I'm going to be listening to them every single week. And I'm going to go back on their previous show before they join the network and have a listen to them as well. Really, really good shows. It's, you know, Cut Print Film. Hang on. I'll give you their Twitter accounts, as I've got them right here. At Cut Print Film and at Shy Kids Podcast. Now, make sure you follow them. Really good shows. You know, interact with them, because literally, I mean, I've got some interaction to do with both the shows. And, you know, that's all, you know. Should be good, you know. Also, I have created a new Twitter for me, because I have been posting a lot of memes and having a lot of fun and taking a piss out of Dutch because he's in the big house. But also follow at MLR Memes. You know, I'm just having tons of fun with pictures of people, and, you know, I've done the ones of Mersh and, you know, from ones from the live event, and shit tons of taking a piss out of Dutch. Did one of Hammy the other week because he was a bit depressed. Basically the same as every other day. But yeah, just follow all those Twitter accounts. But I'll give you all our details for this show, Antisocial Gamer Radio. If you want to call the show, it's Antisocial Radio, Antisocial Gamer Radio. It's all one word, that's on Skype. Also, you can email us. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join the Facebook group, which I highly recommend, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. And also, you can like our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. Also follow us on Twitter at MLR Gamer Radio. Let us know you're following us and I'll follow you back, you know, get the old community going. I have been playing stuff. I mean, to be honest, I haven't really played any console stuff because I have been watching a ton of Netflix. I've been sort of trying to catch up on Orange is the New Black, which is a really good show. And basically a bunch of other stuff that I have been missing because I have been playing games nonstop. And now that's, you know, my PlayStation 4 should turn up in about 4 or 5 weeks. I'm sort of watching tons of videos on Watch Dogs, and I saw like a season pass trailer, which I'll chuck in the old Facebook group later. It's I'm going to sort of tangent slightly, because I did watch it. Really good. I'm looking forward to the stuff. You can play as T-Bone. I think it's one of the characters who helps you out throughout the game. And there's like different costumes and missions. You know, it's the basic stuff you'd expect from a season pass. But I mean, this game is done by Ubisoft. Why, you know, you're giving us costumes. Can I have an Assassin's Creed costume, please? It would be so nice. It'd be tie it all in together. I mean, you know, it's not. There's no direct correlation between, you know, Watch Dogs and, you know, Assassin's Creed. But it would be nice. I mean, to be honest, I mean, we got an Assassin's Creed suit in Metal Gear Solid. I mean, Final Fantasy 13-2 had a what the fuck did it have? It had the it had, like, you know, the Final Fantasy VII gear, you know, the Cloud's outfit from Final Fantasy VII, his soldier uniform. You know, there's all these games from the same companies, you know, connected. Can we just get a nice Assassin's Creed sort of modern costume for, you know, for the game? It'd be great. It really would. I'd enjoy wearing it. It'd be really good to see, you know, just prowling around with your smartphone and Assassin's Creed outfit. But yeah, so I have been playing stuff. It finally happened. As some of you know, I have been trying to breed a shiny Eevee, because I'm going to try and turn it into an Umbreon. And it happened. I bred it today. It basically just popped up. I'm like, sort of did my happy dance. Almost did. It's just the stats are pretty shit. I mean, it's decent enough. It's got 4 perfect IVs, and it's, you know, nature's the one I wanted because I used the Everstone. And, you know, it wasn't the best one it could possibly be, which is a shame, but it doesn't really matter because I'm not really going to use it for competitive battling anyway. I'm just going to stare at it and marvel at how, you know, nice it looks. Basically, it's your normal Umbreon's a sort of black sort of rabbit-type fox thing, and it has, like, yellow rings, but the shiny one has blue rings. So basically, I've given it the nickname of Tron, and I'm sort of like, well, all the Umbreons, they're sort of like that. So I basically just sort of named them characters from Tron, because I'm basically breeding 3. 2 normal ones with the yellow rings and my shiny with the blue rings. And I've basically just sort of been Eevee training them all up today and hopefully getting them, you know, happy enough where basically they will evolve at night time and I can get my Umbreons. And that's basically me done with a full set of a the Evolution family and sort of perfect IVs all round, and you know, happiness will ensue. But yeah, I say I haven't really done much. I mean, there's you know, I've got bits and pieces to play, and you know, I mean, I want to play some more Hitman. I haven't had a chance to do that. It's basically been a long week, and I've been working nonstop. But I do plan on playing some stuff this week. I mean, I'm looking at, because I mean, I've got my Manchester trip in a few weeks, and I'm looking for stuff to take on me, take with me rather, for the journey. And I do really want to pick up, Star Fox on the 3DS. And this is, you know, I'm going to tangent again. And I mean, this is probably going to come up in a bit because I have a news article about Nintendo, which I am probably going to slate the shit out of them, as I usually do, as you lot normally do. As you lot normally know that I do. I've been watching, I haven't been playing games, but I have been watching tons of videos on YouTube, usual Ultimate Sidemen. Those guys are great. Just go and watch them. You know, they're really funny guys, and they do some great videos. And they're making me super jealous of the fact that they've got Trials Fusion, and I'm going to have to wait a couple more weeks to get it for my PlayStation 4. But yeah, I mean, I was looking at some stuff for Nintendo. I'm like, you know, I mean, we're bashing the Wii U because there's no games for it. But the thing is, I mean, as I've said you know, many a time, we've got, you know, Nintendo is a whole catalogue of characters, but we're not seeing any of the bloody games. It's like, I mean, you know, where's F-Zero? I mean, I love F-Zero. It's hard as balls, but it's a really fun game, and I really want to play it again. I mean, can we get a new Star Fox game? How great will a new Star Fox game be? I mean, I know the thing is, though, it's weird. Maybe the reason why we haven't got it is it's basically, I don't know. I don't know if it would work with the Wii U with the bloody pad thing that they've got. It probably just worked with like a classic controller. But I mean, the last Star Fox game we had was on the N64. I mean, the last F-Zero, I think, was... I mean, the last decent stuff that we got from Nintendo was, you know, GameCube and N64 era games. I mean, the Wii U stuff, it's a lot of party stuff. There's no... Not single player as such, but there's no diversity amongst what you're getting. I mean, yes, the Wii was basically a big party system, but it just didn't really cover the basically. I mean, the online was pretty shitty with it. I mean, that was patched in later, but we got, you know, the online is good now for different system. PlayStation's got it cornered on it, and so has Microsoft. So they're good with their online, as everyone knows, apart from Xbox One if you're playing Battlefield. But it's you know, there's so much back history that we could do. I mean, they make not shitty. I don't know if it's good or not, but it's like they made a Kid Icarus game, and that, you know, we have for the 3DS. It's like we haven't had a Kid Icarus game in like 25 years, and it's like, well, where's our F-Zeros? Where's our Metroid? Where are these games that we're supposed to be seeing? And I saw an article earlier, I think, it's like, so Nintendo's not going to do a press conference for E3, which just they haven't done one last year and whatever. But yeah, I'm not expecting much anyway. But it's like, can we get these games? Can you make these? You know, if you're basically a one-trick pony when it comes to your games on the consoles, it's like, well, where the hell are these games? Where's our F-Zero? Where's our, you know... I mean, choice. If you make these games, people might actually bother picking up the Wii U. I mean, choice. Everyone knows it now, as you know, from what I've been reading across the internet, as the console that basically no one wants. And you know, I don't want one, but I would like to see these games appearing. I mean, choice. I want to see these games on a 3DS. I mean, I'm tempted to pick up Smash Brothers. I mean, I've never played a Smash Brothers game in my life. I did see this trailer earlier for, was it Home something story for the 3DS that comes out Friday, Home Style Story, and I think it's done by the person who created Pikachu, and it's been scored by Nobuo Uematsu, who did the Final Fantasy soundtracks. But yeah, it looks pretty good. But where's all our classic? Where's the games that we know Nintendo for? And you know, fucking nowhere. That's where they are. Yeah, so I go back to what I've been playing. Nothing much, really. I'm just thinking now, I haven't even played any of the Trials Frontier that I've got on my iPod. Maybe it's because my iPod is so slow at the moment and it just, I don't know, probably crash every single time. But yeah, I'm interested. There's nothing really to play, really. I mean, I am sort of super pumped to think about, you know, how last week's show was, talk about E3. I am super pumped for basically what we're going to see. And, you know, it's going to be a really good E3 this year. You know, I can't wait. You know, it's only like, you know, a month or so away, but it's gonna be good. But say, I did sort of have topics this week, sort of. There was one I was gonna do, and there was that sort of fell through, and there was another one. But I was thinking, you know, I think about, you know, what I said last week about that Metroid article. It was basically, you know, about developers like Yoshiro Sakamoto. You know, about making games that bring new emotions, you know, that we would enjoy, you know, games more. But it's like, it does make me wonder about, it does bring a sort of the devil's advocate with it, sort of, or the other side of the coin. I'm not too sure which reference I'm trying to make. But it's like, I think about what they do, that, you know, they want to make us feel new emotions. And, I mean, of course, to be honest, how many times, have you gone into a boss battle and you thought, I'm going to fucking kill you? You know, I have done it several times, and it's like, you know, I want this boss battle to be good, and it's, we're going to kick the shit out of you, and, you know fuck you, you're dead. You know, you get really aggressive and you're ready, really pumped up for like, what do you call it? For the boss battle. But I was thinking, it's like, you know, those are the great emotions to have when you're going into a boss battle. I mean, I thought about stuff like that during the end of, I say, you know, Metal Gear Solid. You know, I think about, you know, the first one on the PlayStation 1, and, you know, on the PlayStation 3, the final sort of boss battle against Liquid Ocelot. Really good boss battles. But it does make me wonder, it's a slight tangent, something I'm sort of trying to get around to answering this question without asking it. It's weird, I'm trying to explain it. When, you know, developers, they want us to make, us have these new emotions, but it does make me wonder how they feel about making game after game. I mean, you know, I think about, because we, as you all know, we are getting basically constant sequel after sequel after sequel. It's nice that they're looking out for us and they want us to feel emotional about what we're playing, but it's like, what's it like for them? Are they still happy? I mean, are the people at Infinity Ward and Sledgehammer and Treyarch, are they happy about making Call of Duty after Call of Duty? I mean, the past couple of weeks, you know, you listen to me and I've read stories about how all these developers are leaving and, you know, jumping ship from company to company doing mobile games. And, you know, it's like, they can't be that happy if everyone's chopping, you know, basically just going from one studio to the next. I mean, it's good because, you know, they're realising they want to change. They don't want to do this stuff. So I'm guessing that maybe, you know, they are basically taking their talent and going elsewhere, which is good because, it you know, it changes up what we're playing. It, you know, if, you know, we had with, was it Amy Hennig, you know, which she was the writer, one of the writers from Uncharted. You know, she left Uncharted Games and she's working on this new Star Wars game. So basically, she's taken all the, you know, what we like about Uncharted with her to, you know, to work on this new Star Wars game. So basically, if she can recreate the emotions that we felt, see, it all ties back in. So, you know, if she can recreate the emotions that we feel about, see, Uncharted's another one of those games that makes me feel, you know, come on, take the boss. You know, even though the boss battles for Uncharted aren't that tricky, they're a bit easy-ish. Especially on easy difficulty setting. But, you know, it'd be nice that if she can recreate the feelings that we get from playing games like Uncharted, you know, all the AAA ones that we like, or the non-AAA ones, you know, basically just any game that makes us happy to play what we're playing, really. And it does make me wonder, I mean, you know, what goes on in their minds, how, you know, because we've heard stories about, was it Team Bondi with the, L.A. Noire, how they felt pressured and under so much, you know, hassle and stuff. It's like, maybe that's, something to do with the games that we're getting. I mean, I think about stuff like, I'm thinking about the Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man game we got from, I think it's Bezox Studios. And basically, they make all the Spider-Man games. It's like, most of them are okay, from what I've been hearing. That, you know, I've played a couple. The movie games I've sort of played, they've been fun. But it's like, are we getting our fill and entertainment on what we're seeing? I don't know. You know, are they getting their enjoyment about making another Spider-Man game after another Spider-Man? I mean, what my main worry is that, well, if they're not enjoying what they're doing, will that basically jeopardize the final product of what we're getting? I mean, if we're not getting... you know, people say they put their heart and soul and blood and sweat into something. I mean, shouldn't we be getting some sort of secondary feedback off that? You know, if these developers have developed, you know, we hear about all these, how these developers loved, you know, it could be sort of bullshit to be honest, how they've loved making this game, how it took a lot of effort and energy, and, you know, it was fun for them. And so are they just being serious, or did it just... I mean, because, you know, you think about games, you know, they say this sort of shit, and then we end up games that are buggy as hell. I just realised something else that I've been playing that I will talk about in a second. I'm sort of tangenting all over the place tonight. But no, I mean, it's like, will we be feeling it if it's true, or... I don't know. I guess it's maybe how much interest we have for the game. I mean, I'm thinking about Dead Space right now. It's like, you know... Are they sick and tired? Because we might not be getting a Dead Space 4, but I'm hoping we are. You know, I mean, I think about stuff like that. Because, I mean, you know, back to last week, I was talking about Micro Machines. I mean, you know, the great people at Codemasters, because I was just literally, they have been interacting with me quite a bit since I started doing the show. And it's, you know, finally, it's nice to have one studio actually want to talk to me. But yeah, I mean, I think about them. It's like, yeah, they've been making like the Grid games for so long. Would me and, you know, Eurogamer saying to them, look, we want to play a new Micro Machines games. I know John in the Facebook group, when I posted, I said, would we like to see one? He wanted to see one. And it's like, I talked to my sister last week about this, and, you know, because me and her, we used to sort of play Micro Machines game, the Micro Machines games, you know, back in the day when we were, you know, little kids and stuff. And it's like, you know, we're excited for it. I mean, would they be excited to have a change on what they're making? Like, you know, could we get, you know, could this new game re-spark some imagination, some fun, some happiness? You know, could it sort of, you know, refill their happy meter and make them want to make something that's fun and enjoyable? And basically, we get that passed on to us when we're playing it and having fun. And, you know, I mean, I'd love to sit down with a bunch of, you know, people from the station and play Micro Machines for hours on end and just have tons of fun. I mean, I wouldn't mind just sitting here watching the Ultimate Sidemen just racing around a pool table, just having fun. And, you know, sort of, I think that's pretty what it is with my love for gaming, is like, we all just want to, you know, fuck it, I think I like Cyndi Lauper now. We just want to have fun, boys and girls. But it does make me... It does worry me, to be honest. I mean, I love playing games. It's my life. It's pretty much all I do. I mean, you know, it's all I really talk about. It's, you know, part of who I am and part of who I always will be and who I always was. But yeah, it's like, we want to... I'm guessing that we're going to get, you know, the emotions passed down from the games that we play. And, you know, I mean, actually, it does make me wonder if I'm sort of correlate between, you know, when you see a good, like a really good movie. I mean, to me, it's sort of, I get this thing from like superhero movies, you know, superhero movies, like, you know, they fucking kicked ass and saved the day. And it's like, I walk out the cinema feeling bulletproof, basically. And I was wondering about the games, like, you know, when I play games and stuff. I mean, I've done this with... I've done this, I'm trying to think now. Like, I think I've done this with the original Metal Gear Solid. I think I did it with Mass Effect 2, I think. So there's been a few games that I've sort of finished and played, and I'm like, this was really good. I feel great. But yeah, I mean, you know, it does make me wonder about that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, just hopefully the developers enjoy what they're doing. I mean, maybe this is a sort of wake-up call for... Considering that, you know, basically all the other developers out there are, you know, they're moving from studio to studio making different games. You know, I mean, just no one wants to play make a football game for the whole game, their whole development career. They want to move on to different things. They want to test their skills. It's basically, you know, we just want to branch out and be the best that we can be, really. But I'm sort of hoping that developers realise this because it's an important point. And it's just, the more we get from developers testing their skills, branching out, becoming something more than what they originally started as, it does better for us. I mean, they learn more, they learn new tricks, new skills, and they learn how to make better games, how to do the codes, and, you know, basically how to develop games, how to be better developers of games. And, you know, this could work for all field, like every sort of job title when it comes to making games. It's like the story writers, you know, the sound editors, you know, everything, basically. You know, I'm just sort of thinking now, you sit down and watch the end of an Assassin's Creed game, all like 15 minutes of credits that are rolling. You know, all those people and those different job titles, will it make them feel better? But it's weird. I mean, sort of randomly thinking, but I think the Ubisoft people who do make the Assassin's Creed games, I think they do have a lot of fun when it comes to this sort of stuff, you know, because basically, even though it's pretty much the same thing every year, it is different because of the locations and what's going on and the story and the history, and, you know, so I'm guessing they must have a nice, decent bit of fun with it. I mean, you know, but maybe that's the alternative as well. As I said, here we have people from different studios moving to different studios. But then you have all of them who don't move, that we don't hear about, to be honest, who do stay at their own studios. Maybe that is them just saying, well, we enjoy what we're doing. So, I don't know. Maybe. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for that. It's not really a topic. It's more of a personal thought. But I say I have remembered something I did play and I forgot to mention it. We got the DLC for Batman Arkham Origins. It was the Cold to Cold Heart DLC. It's good. It's very broken. I had to restart it. Well, I had to restart it once because it restarted on me. I don't think I am done with the game. Even though I bought the DLC, I'm probably not going to bother going through it again. Because I did it. I went through it a second time. And there was this guy I had to interrogate. And I just, it sort of, the game didn't let me interrogate him. It just let me beat him up. So, okay, I couldn't really go any further. But, I mean, I went on YouTube and I watched the ending. I was like, okay, I'm satisfied. But it is fun. It's pretty much more Batman of basically what we've been getting. But one other thing I did want to mention, as such, is like a thought I had. It's basically, I mean, because I think Brian was in the Facebook group and he sort of shot me down on this idea. I mean, it was like, I mean, it's weird for me to say because it's something we've already got, but I'd like more of it. I was thinking about like games like Call of Duty, where we have the prestige system and the level. You know, as you level up, you unlock new items and stuff like this. And it's like I sort of wish we'd have more games like this, like sort of multiplayer focused, like multiplayer only games that they focused on the whole online progression system. I mean, I know we have games like FIFA and Madden. You know, the sports, you know, the EA sports stuff, you get points and stuff, and you can buy booster packs with new players and update your roster, that sort of stuff. But it just makes you wonder if there's not enough games doing that sort of thing. I mean, because I worry about... the longevity of games that we're playing these days. I mean, I think you know, this whole thing, this whole topic started when I was thinking about this game based on a manga, Initial D, and it was an arcade game when I played it. I mean, I think you can get it on, you can buy copies of it. But basically, it was like you'd go to this arcade machine and you could buy like a card which, you know, you would keep, and it would store your card that you have basically chosen, and then each race you would win and get points and whatever, and you could, you know, customize your car through constant just, you know, paying whatever coins to, you know, whatever it is to play the game, and it would transfer to this card. I mean, it does make wonder about you know, other games like sort of online focus games. But I mean, I guess that's sort of covered with games with sort of MMOs. The fact that, you know, you have to be a certain level to use this sword and you need, you know, these skills. But it does make me wonder about other stuff that, you know, because we do see a lot of games that have not the best sort of focus when it comes to online play. Yeah, I mean, I think about stuff like Assassin's Creed. I mean, just, I think they could be doing a whole lot more for what we're actually getting, possibly. But I mean, I do wonder. I just wonder that if we're getting the best additives to the actual after game, the online, the, you know, I'm just trying to think, you know, I was just sort of thinking maybe we had like a sort of gauntlet style game where, you know, you could get items and level up. But just, that's the thing, that's just what, this is what the whole thing that shot sort of shot the whole my whole idea down, and thanks to Brian, it was because of him as well. It's like, because we do have games like that, but maybe it's just, I don't know, I'm not just not playing enough of them. I mean, it's tricky to think about stuff like this. It's like, I want to play more games that have basically a sort of an online focus, sort of online only focus, and you could basically sort of you know, when you're playing it, you get past certain levels. I don't know, because maybe it's to do with the I know I'm not really being as clear as possible, as clear as I can with this sort of stuff. But I think about, you know, games like, because we have, like, now we have like the PlayStation 4, we have the Xbox One. I mean, I think about games like Destiny, that's pretty much covering what I want to see. But it does make me wonder that, I don't know, maybe this is a niche idea and it won't work. But I'm just like, can we have some more games that do focus, you know, that are focused on the, you know, the online, and, you know, you need to find these weapons, but you can only be a certain level. I don't know. I'm just sort of thinking about, I don't know, really. That's the thing. It wasn't a proper topic, but it was like an idea. It's like, I just want to see more games that have an online mode where it's basically like the in-game, like single player, but outside. You know, like we have with, you know, Fallout or Skyrim or something. You know, something like that, you know, where you need to be a high level to use these items to wear this gear, or, you know, I don't know, maybe sort of make it sort of what the MMOs do with their gear system, but have it not, well, the fact that you don't need to pay for the monthly subscriptions would be nice. You know, we can just all play together. I mean, I think about, I think Fable 2 did it, where you could sort of, you could swap items between the characters. I mean, I know, because there was a bunch of achievements, it was like, you know, dye your hair black and wear this out, you know, wear this mismatch of clothes, and you would get an achievement or something. You got something in game, but it's like, wouldn't it be nice to do something like that where it wasn't focused, sort of MMO specific, you know, where we could all play together and do these sort of stuff, and there wouldn't be extra fees on it. I mean, I know with some of these free to play MMOs, that's, you know, basically free to play, but you to buy the better items, you can actually use real money. It was like, I don't want to see that in console based games. I'd like to see, you know, it's hard to explain, but I just want to see some sort of MMO style game. But on the console, really. I mean, I know we do have MMOs on the console, but it just, I don't know. But no, I say, you know, that was pretty much it. It wasn't really much of a topic. It was more of just an afterthought, really. But I say, I do plan on talking about a topic next week, which is basically, I think about games that we have got recently, like Titanfall. And as I said, you know, earlier, we're basically, the new consoles are out. We've basically, they've only been out a few months. We've got 10, 15 years ahead of us on these consoles. And I thought about stuff, you know, games like Titanfall, where it was sort of, you can have, you know, you can run around as a character, or you can jump in this massive mech and sort of, you know, shoot the shit out of everybody. But it's like, will vehicular combat evolve with this console generation that we have now, that we are in now? Are we going to get better and better sort of military shooters? You know, I mean, I think back to sort of, you know, I keep talking about this one, Call of Duty 3, where you could, you know, drive the vehicles around. Are we going to get more vehicle-based combat systems? I think, you know, we have games like World of Tanks, which is doing that sort of thing. But it's like, is it going to be enough? Or, I mean, I don't know about this. It's all sort of random at the moment until I get some, you know, interaction from the listeners. But yeah, you know, get in a Facebook group. Feel free to, you know, comment when I start posting about this topic. But yeah, I mean, I just want to see better vehicle-based combat games. You know, maybe we get something with Destiny and, you know, Titanfall 2 when that comes out in a couple of years. And basically, you know, whatever Call of Duty plans to do, or whatever Battlefield 17 we get, you know, that sort of stuff. But I mean, you know, it's all just, you know, thought and conjecture at the moment. So basically, when I post the topic, I do want to get as many people involved in this as, you know, try and, you know, get some thought going and see what we can work out and what will be the basically thing for the future. But yeah, they're pretty much sort of it for topics and, you know, what I've been playing. But basically, I have a whole load of news, because this is just so much stuff that's basically... I know what I did forget to do. I need to thank, because I have, I say, one of the things I have been doing is I'm getting ready for the Nationals, which I'm all registered. That, you know, it's in a couple of weeks. But I do want to thank Josh and Kent from the Underground Podcast. I decided I'd give them both a shout-out. Thanks, guys, because basically... Kent got me my fungus, which I needed with a regenerator ability for my my team, and basically Josh helped me out with the with my basically team setup, how I was gonna, you know, what stats I was gonna put into it and how I was gonna EV train it, you know. Basically, it's just thanks to those guys, because it really helps me out, because I mean now that I have my shiny EV, and which will be, you know, hopefully fully EV trained by tonight, hopefully, and just try and get it happy enough to it will evolve. I can just sort of work on trying to get a decent, you know, Among Us for my team, which, you know, it shouldn't take too long. It should be pretty simple. But I just want to say thanks to those guys, and, you know, as a, you know, the Nationals are only a couple of weeks away. I have my train ticket, my room's all booked. I just basically need to get myself on the train. But yeah, I say I have a whole load of news stuff here. Okay, let me try and find something decent. Okay. Okay, yeah. Let's just talk about Destiny. I've a whole load of Destiny stuff to go through. Because, you know, it's one of the games I'm really looking forward to listening to. I'm really looking forward to playing this year. But this is from CVG. It says, this has come out about a week or so ago. Destiny pretty close to shipping, Bungie says. Marty O'Donnell's departure not indicated, indicative of delays. Bungie says Destiny is pretty close to shipping. And it's not, yes, it's not affected by the composer Marty O'Donnell's departure from the studio, because you fired him. Chief Operative Officer Pete Parsons told Eurogamer on Wednesday, that was the 16th of April, that the game is on track for its September release on the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360 and Xbox One. He says, I believe... sorry, if I scroll down the page. There we go. He says, I believe... fucking... Fuck off. Jesus Christ. Fucking... What is it with all these pages with ads? I mean, I'm looking at this stuff. There's so many fucking ads. It's really hard to read these fucking articles. So I believe people will be transported not just by the activities and the stories within the Destiny universe, but by the sights and the wonderful sounds and music, he said. We have a fantastic team. We're pretty close to shipping. There's a lot of polish left to do, lots of tweaking and tuning. But a lot of is already complete. O'Donnell's music will still appear in the game, as well as music from his collaborator Michael Salvatore, and they'll work on the game's theme with Sir Paul McCartney. I think the Paul McCartney's doing the theme tune for this, for Destiny. Jesus Christ. I think Bungie's fan base is going to look forward to hearing Marty's music. Yeah, basically all the music. They're going to be excited for people. Exciting for people. It's going to be a great, fantastic experience. O'Donnell revealed on Wednesday that his long-standing employment with Bungie has been terminated without cause. O'Donnell is responsible for scoring much of the Halo series soundtrack, as well as other Bungie productions. But yeah, I say, you know, I am so looking forward to this. And I've got a whole shit ton of Bungie stuff. What the hell am I trying to say? Destiny stuff. There we go. Sorry, I'm just trying to scroll. Because I have a whole load. And I'm just trying to find it all. Ah, there we go. Yes. There we go. Yeah, this is mainly for me, to be honest. Destiny. Game pre-orders gets upgraded hover bike. New UK pre-order incentive confirmed as hands-on previews go live. UK gamers who pre-order Destiny with retail chain Game will receive an upgraded hover bike as a reward. Players will use these hover bikes called Sparrows to traverse the world, the open world of Destiny. The upgraded Sparrow game pre-orders will feature enhanced specs over regular Sparrows. This in-game customized red-coloured personal transport features an upgraded boost, faster speed, and higher durability than the standard Sparrow. Detailed Bungie in announcement accompanied by the above teaser. Yeah. In addition to the upgraded Sparrow, pre-ordering Destiny will get you access to a planned beta test, as previously announced. I can't wait for this game. It's going to be so good. I hope it's going to be so good. But yeah, I mean, it does make me want now to pre-order it at my local Game anyway. So, you know, I am actually thinking about taking the week off work for when this comes out, so that way I can sort of basically just play it. Alright, let's go to more stuff. I've got tons more Destiny stuff. I'm trying to cover all the Destiny stuff before the break, because I've got a whole bunch of stuff that I do want to talk about once it's sorted. Destiny teaser video was posted. More info promised later today. This is from yesterday. Basically, we had this new trailer that came out, which is in the Facebook group. I posted it on the Facebook page, so you know, get yourself there and have a look. Bungie teases three short clips on its Instagram page. Bungie has released a handful of short teaser videos for Destiny, along with a suggestion that more information will be available later today. The videos posted on the studio's Instagram accounts tease elements of the game, including map selection, ship formations, and on-foot sections. And yeah, basically, it's this trailer we got. They gave us like this 7-minute trailer about, I think it was Devil's Lair, I think it's a new location. And it looks a lot of fun. It really does. Basically sort of really creepy area, and you know, it does look like a whole lot of fun. Here we go. Yes, this is like some actual decent information about the games that we are getting. Destiny website update details player classes and enemies. Bungie shooter poised for September launch. A revamped Destiny website features details on playable classes, as well as new footage and screenshots. The Bungie developed title will boost at least three playable classes known as Guardians. These include the Titan, Warlock, and Hunter. The action will take place across four locations, including Earth, the Moon, Venus, and Mars. Full descriptions for each class. The first Titans built the wall and bravely gave their lives to defend it. It sounds like Attack on Titan. Now you stand in the same place, steadfast and sure. Our enemies are deadly and merciless, but so are you. You hail from a line of legendary heroes, and your strength and skill will be needed to shatter these shatter their ranks. Hunter's once proud. Here we go. Yeah, Hunter. Hunters once prowled the wilderness and wastelands, taking big risks for even bigger rewards. Making your own luck has always meant bending the rules. But you are no outlaw, at least not anymore. And your unique brand of daring and ingenuity will be needed more now more than ever. We have the Warlock. Warlocks have long studied the Traveler, mastering some of its arcane energies. Its true purpose still remains a great mystery, but discovering truth has always been driven you into the unknown. Now our enemies stand between you and your greatest discovery, the secrets of the Golden Age. Now, with this, how it sounds, I mean, the Titan sounds like your basic warrior class. Your Hunter sounds sort of like maybe like an archer or... what the hell is it? I was going to say Pandora, it's not. It's Paladin, there we go. And the Warlock basically sounds like your basic mage class. But yeah, I mean, it's nice that they're giving us descriptions, but I'm going to guess when we comes to basically, creating our character, there will be a whole bunch of stats, and as each class will be different. It'll be different stats into one thing, better into attack or shooting or your HP. I can imagine the Hunter probably has a lot of HP. I remember probably Titan has a lot of HP, but we'll wait and see. I mean, because fuck, E3's in a couple of weeks, we'll sort it out then. Okay, I'll read this article. Meanwhile, Bungie has posted details on 4 different enemy types, including Vex, Cable, Hive, and Fallen. Now, I think we saw some of the Fallen in the new Devil's Lair trailer. But yeah, the Fallen are hardy creatures who can survive in a wide range of environments without heavy armor or complex modifications to their physiology. So I'm going to guess that means basically like they're your basic grunts, I'd say, the ones you probably see everywhere. While the Vex are mass-produced machine units, constructed of an unknown metal alloy resembling hammered brass. Hive are capable of manipulating the physical world in ways that we can only begin to imagine. So maybe they're like the sort of the counter to Warlocks. Maybe they're like the sort of magic class for the enemies that we're going to have to fight. And while the Cabal are described as a professional military operation, so it's basically some sort of you're basically warrior class. Basically there's a whole load of new screenshots on the Destiny website. Bungie has indicated that it's in the final stages of development for Destiny, which will release for PlayStation 3, blah blah blah, on September 9th. Just trying to think trying to book the week off work for that. Let's have a look. I've got one final article and then I'll just move on to something else. I've got a couple more articles. Destiny cross-gen characters transfers confirmed. I'm not too sure what this is about. Destiny players can transfer their save characters from last-gen to new-gen systems. Oh, okay, I understand. Yeah, so basically, if you play Destiny on your Xbox 360, you could basically transfer it to your Xbox One. Players of Destiny on Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 don't have to worry about losing their progress if they get a new console. Investment lead Tyson Green said, according to a Polygon report, "We're interested in making sure that last-gen characters can move to next-gen," he said. "A lot of people are going to buy Destiny on PlayStation 3 or PlayStation 4 and then get a PlayStation... a PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 and then get a PlayStation 4 for Christmas. Don't tell me I wasted those last 100 hours there, so we're really interested in supporting that. Our longer-term platform plans I couldn't speak to right now, but we don't want to lock people in." I'm going to sort of tangent slightly. I can understand what he's saying because it's very simple. If you're going to buy it on, it's nice that there. I mean, he's aiming for young adults and children. Well, what rating is this game? But it's like I'm going to buy this for my PlayStation 4. I mean, I think Royce probably gets on his PlayStation 4, and I think Stuart, he'll probably get on his Xbox 360. But it's like, if you've got, and I think if JJ gets this, I think your JJ probably gets on his Xbox One as well. But it's like, if you're going to buy it, you're going to buy it in the best system that you have. And I'm just, once you do get it on your, I mean, just the people who will, as I said, get Xbox Ones or PlayStation 4 for Christmas, they might pick this up again. But I mean, if they've already got a copy of the game, what's the point in, what's the point in doing stuff like this? You know, it's weird. I mean, just, I think he's very he's speaking for a very small minority of people who actually will. You know, it's nice that you can transfer your, you know, your data across. I mean, I'd love to do that with my Pokemon games, you know, instead of having to, you know, complete the Pokedex every game, just, like, send over save data with all the information. That would make it so much easier. But, yeah, you know, I can understand what he's saying, but I don't think it's, there's a whole load of people who will be, you know, sending save data over just to, you know, from previous systems. They're going to, you know, if they're going to play it, they're going to play it fresh on a brand new console or whatever it is they can get. I don't think, you know, I mean, you know, some of the rich kids out there probably do this, but I'm sure if they're rich kids out there, they've already got Xbox Ones and PlayStation 4s. But I'll carry on reading. Tyson refrained from offering further plans for the console upgrades. He also said Bungie has not made a decision on whether an Xbox 360 owner could switch to a PlayStation 4 or vice versa. I doubt it. It wouldn't. It just, I don't know. Just, like I say, just don't let them think about stuff like that. Just let them make the game and we'll sort that stuff out later. But trust me, I mean, you could restart. Because, I mean, it's understandable. I know your basic, your PlayStation ID and your Xbox Live account transfers to, you know, from 360 to PlayStation, from 360 to Xbox One and PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4. But, you know, the chances that your friends are going to have different consoles to play this on, if you've already organised to play it on one console, it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but whatever. Yes, Bungie has also received a released a 7-minute video of the game, at the inaction as three players delve into the Devil's Lair, which is basically what I talked about. Let's see how much is left in this article. Oh, that's it. Yeah, basically, the Devil's Lair, just showing off new places, and it does look a lot of fun. I mean, I am so looking forward to this game. I hope it is worth the wait. Okie dokie. So I've just seen something I do want to talk about once I finish talking about Destiny. This is a big old article and I don't really want to talk about it just now. So we'll leave that for later. But I want to talk about something that I have saw. Fucking hell, what did I learn to speak? There we go, yes. Oh, hang on, one sec. Just trying to find a... that's it. Yeah, basically... There was a big urban legend about copies of E.T. on the Atari being dumped in a desert, and Microsoft had dug it up and found out that it was true. the little bit of silence there, it's like, why would you do that? I mean, yes, you've now proved that it wasn't just a rumour, it was something real that happened, and they did this. Because basically the game was shitty and broken. But it just... I don't get the point of doing it. I mean, I know they're going to make TV shows and stuff like that out of it, but it just seems like a total waste of time, to be honest. It's nice that you want to do stuff like this, but, I mean, there must be some other stuff that, you know... that can be better stuff that can be done. I mean, I've got the article here from CBG. This is E.T. from Atari discovered... Fucking ads, you cunts. I'm going to have to fucking tweet at these people later. E.T. for Atari discovered in New Mexico desert landfill. Urban legend proven true thanks to forthcoming Xbox documentary. See, that's the thing. That's my whole thing. It's like, all right... You've proved that it's actually, yes, the legends are true. It was buried in a fucking landfill. But what? What was the point? Yes, you've proven it, well, what are you going to do now? Just, you know, maybe this article will explain it. Copies of the Atari 2600 game E.T. have been discovered in a New Mexico landfill, effectively confirming the truth behind a contentious chapter in video game history. Now, I've always believed this to be true anyway. I mean, the game was so shit from what I've seen. It wouldn't surprise me if this was bullshit, but it's true, and I've always thought it would always thought it to be true. Cartridges for the game, which is widely condemned as the worst game in video game in history, were discovered in what the fuck is that? Alamogordo? Yeah, there we go. New Mexico, as a part of a documentary which is currently in development by Xbox Entertainment Studios. Here we go. Larry Major. Oh, it's fucking heads. Jesus Christ.
It's you.
You fucking cunts. God. First confirmed the news via Twitter, where he posted as an image of the intact E.T. cartridge. Released in 1982, E.T. was rushed to market in order to coincide with the Steven Spielberg directed film. Developed in just over 5 weeks, the game failed to sell as well as Atari projected. I'm not surprised. The game was made in 5 weeks. And George, what the fuck could you make a game, you know, even as, you know, back to... Hang on, what year is it? Yeah, 32 years ago. Why would you want a game about E.T.? I mean, the film was okay, but it's not something you'd make a game out of, even though many companies have made games over films where there was really no need for it. Yes, here we go. Released in 1982, E.T. was rushed to market, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, the game failed to sell as projected and is widely blamed for causing the 1983 video games industry crash. I wouldn't know about that because I wasn't born for another year later. According to SMH, former Atari manager James Heller was tasked in 1983 to find a cheap way to dispose of 728,000 copies of the game. A New York Times report suggests that 14 truckloads of the games were left in the landfill. Wow, New York Times actually gets something correct for once. I've never heard of about it again until June 2013 when I read an article about E.T. being excavated, Heather told SMH. The 1983 crash was triggered by the prevalence of low-quality clone games oversaturated North American market. This led to consumer backlash and a disastrous decline in hardware and software sales. But, Charles, though, I mean, it was the 80s. I mean, fuck, I mean, you know, War Games, that movie with all the games and shit, you know, and there was nothing to play, and everything looked like shit, you know, fuck, it was the 80s, Jesus Christ. The Xbox Entertainment Studio documentary is a collaboration with Fuel Entertainment entitled Dumping the Alien, Unearthing the Atari, it's being directed by Zach Penn, who I've no idea who that is, but yeah, I mean, the big whole thing with this, it's like, okay, you've done it, but what's the fucking point? You found out that the urban legend was true, but you're basically just sitting. I mean, hopefully they're fucking recycling all this bullshit and just sort of, you know, get rid of it properly instead of just dumping it into a landfill. I mean, hopefully all these cartridges are smashed to shit and be unusable and. I don't know. It just seems like a massive waste of time. Why they would do this sort of shit? I don't know. It they found it. Good for them. Whatever. Who cares? But now they have something for their documentaries, for their useless Xbox channel, which a bunch of shows that no one's going to watch. I mean, to be honest, they tried this sort of bullshit already. You know, trying to get people interested. I mean, we had that One versus 100, which. Was okay, it was kind of fun, but then just sort of sunk into the ground because sort of, you know, no one gave a monkeys about it. But, you know, whatever. All right, I'm going to take a quick break because I need a drink and my throat's really dry. But I'll be back in about 8-9 minutes after these messages.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we
sign.
Know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio, all one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcasts. Oh boy!
I told you. Yeah,
we were trying. I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Yeah, AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey, smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at CZWrestling.com. That's CZWrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
so everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At adamandeve.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my God, it's hilarious!
doesn't say it three more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Wow, down, bow, down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for Lust, Betrayal, and Murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah. Three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi. We aren't getting our informative murder porn. No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to the second hour of Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I'm just calling up this article now, one I was talking about earlier about Nintendo. Pain in the ass, ads, it's on fucking CVG. I did tweet at them, so yeah. Any chance we can get some more ads on your site when I'm trying to look for topics? It makes it so much easier. Fucking bunch of sellout bastard cunts. Here we go. Let's see what happens here this time. Iwata pledges to push Nintendo beyond games. Chief executive reiterates focus on all entertainment. Nintendo president Satoru Iwata has pledged to expand the corporation's remit beyond video games. In an interview with Diamond.jp, Iwata was asked to comment further on his statements in January that Nintendo would expand into a new business area and extend the definition of entertainment with its 10-year quality of life platform. Jesus fucking hell. Iwata replied that the public perception of Nintendo as merely a video game company is one he aims to change. Well, to be honest, mate, you're not making any fucking games anyway. As well as the aim of his late predecessor, Hiroshi Yamauchi, a lot of people around the world think Nintendo is solely a company that makes video games. And I believe more and more of our own employees have started thinking it's in this way. But to be honest, though, Nintendo started off making fucking playing cards. Some employees in charge of development find themselves in positions where all they are thinking about is how they can make the game in front of them game in front of them more fun. So I don't think it can be helped if others outside of our company see us the same way. So even though we won't chance the fact that our focus is on video games, I felt the need to take the occasion to state that Nintendo is a company that can do whatever it wants. Basically, yeah, we've known that for a while, and that's basically, well, do nothing. Iwata also stated that it was one of Yamauchi's mantras that led to his announcement regarding the quality of life platform in January. Yamauchi says, always said Nintendo is an entertainment company and should never be anything else. But he didn't necessarily think entertainment equals video games, he explained. I was wondering how to express Yamauchi's feelings, and I thought about it non-stop, even during the New Year's holiday break. Recently the words quality of life have been coming up regularly. Entertainment is there to improve people's quality of life. After your basic needs, there's entertainment. However, when it came to improving people's quality of life, I don't know the difference between us and the household appliance makers. At the start of the year, I finally figured that the concept of improving people's quality of life with fun was emphasis on the fun. Go to a funeral. Would be perfect for Nintendo, and that's why I decided to focus on this during the financial results meeting in January. It's nice that he thinks that, you know, this sort of stuff is good, that he wants to focus on fun, but it's like, to be honest, no one seems to be having fun with Nintendo. I mean, I'm having fun with Pokemon, but nothing else, really. I mean, it's weird. Nintendo has literally just sort of jumped the shark on every damn thing. They have no idea what gamers want. They're too busy doing their own thing, which no one wants. We want a console that we want to play on. We want games that we want to play. I mean, yes, as I said at the beginning of the show, Nintendo is famous for doing, like, you know, a dozen or so different games and characters. You know, just give us those games and characters so that we can be done with playing with your console for this generation and make a new console the next generation with the same games that we've already played. And, you know, it's boring and bullshit, but to be honest, that's what people have been doing. There's nothing much to it, to be honest, and that's all we get from Nintendo, but he wants to say more fun. This guy's off his fucking rocker. He really is. The guy's a moron. And all these people who would talk about Nintendo, it's like, you know, God, it just makes me sick. It really does. Nintendo needs to sort of pull their head out of their arse. Iwata's, you know, at the head of the train, pulling on the whistle as it's going over a fucking cliff. This stupid bastard has no clue whatsoever. He really doesn't. God, it makes me sick, all these idiots. Let's go on to something different. Here we go. PC gaming here. Valve is the saviour of PC gaming, says Wasteland 2 creator. In Exile founder Brian Fargo, Lords... Steam and Early Access. In Exile Entertainment head Brian Fargo has said that Valve and its Steam digital distribution service are the saviors of saviors of the PC, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, let's go into this and see what he's bullshitting about. Fargo is well known for his work on the Bard's Tale series, as well as Fallout and Wasteland. The sequel for which is being crowdfunded on the Steam Early Access. So basically, Steam has their own version of Kickstarter. How lovely. He told Eurogamer that console companies... He's told Eurogamer that console companies put all sorts of guns to our head in order to release on their platforms, and alluded to Microsoft's requirements that Xbox Live Arcade publishers need to have shipped a retail game. But yeah, they're trying to build up a standard, but that sort of stuff doesn't work. Which I can agree. It's, you know, there is a whole bunch of PC gamers out there and developers who, you know, I mean, there are so many great games that are coming out on the PC. There's some of that I'd like to play, but it's just, I don't have a game-worthy PC. I mean, I have my laptop, which I'm doing the show on now, but, you know, I'd rather not, you know, do too much and end up breaking the bloody thing. Where was I? Yes. Here we go. Yeah. But PC wasn't much of an alternative for many creators until Steam helped kick off digital distribution. Fargo said, "You think about where we are. Sorry, where we all were, kind of in the dark ages, when there was nothing. There was just Flash, There was no digital distribution. Valve opened up a way to get directly to the audience in a way that isn't politicized. I don't know. Forces us to do exclusives or all the other things things the console guys do. Steam controls a significant portion of the PC gaming market share. Even so, experiments like Early Access, which have allowed InXile to sell Wasteland 2 early and revise it often, are the order of the day instead of monopolistic money grabs, Fargo said. Valve also has this power, but they don't wield it. They let us work in an all-open system. Hang on, let me read that again. Valve has all this power, but they don't wield it. Yes, I know, this is why people are screaming for fucking Half-Life 3. They let us all work in an open system, I can't say enough good things about them. Well, that's nice. I mean, yes, I agree. Valve has done a whole lot of stuff for PC game with the Steam stuff. But the thing is, though, people are still bitching and moaning at the fact that they do want a Half-Life 3. Valve should just come out and say, you're not going to end up getting a Half-Life 3. We're done with that. We're too busy making Steam and having other people make games for it. Which, you know, is a good thing, to be honest. You know, for your PC gamers, it stops them bitching and moaning for the few seconds they do stop bitching and moaning. All right, let's have a look. Try and find something to talk to you lot about. Ah, here we go. Just Cause 3. This is from Games Radar. Something I'm looking forward to. All right. Just Cause 3's probable confirmation is great news for the industry's health. It looks like this. Just Cause 3 is happening then. Of course, we suspected that. That may be the case since December of last year, when developer Avalanche Studios released a rather conspicuous video of the team scouting studios in scouting locations in Costa Rica for future games. With Costa Rica, comprising the lush, sun-drenched beach and rainforest environments that the Just Cause series is known for, and certainly not sated deserts on the show in Avalanche's other projects, Mad Max, it's fairly safe bet that Part 3 was at least being considered. But now that publisher Square Enix has registered the JustCause3.com domain name a few months before E3, it's a new bout of tropical open world carnage, basically confirmed. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure if this is... Hang on, I think there's more to this article. There's a lot more. Okie dokie. All right, let's get me little reading glasses on. obviously, this is good news on an immediate surface level. The Just Cause series, particularly the second game, is pretty damn brilliant. It's fucking amazing. I bought it like twice and I think I downloaded it as well. Sporting rather unique and immensely evocative locations, packed with some of the most extravagant, creative player lead action in the open world genre. Just Cause might have attained the megaton status of Grand Theft Auto or Saints Row, but it has provided some of the most exciting games of its type ever since its first appearance. Back on the old Xbox. But there's a deeper reason to celebrate here, and it rather hinges upon the latter sentiment above. First of all, the absent advent of a series like Just Cause getting a big budget, AAA, presumably, next-gen sequel, is a great symbol of health for the industry as we move into the next generation of hardware. Last-gen, particularly over the last few years of outgoing platforms, there was a choking sense that games roster was rapidly... consolidating into two disparate what the fuck is it with these people using these weird words? Big safe bets and cheap small scale offerings. for a great but arguably second tier franchise like Just Cause to get their vote of confidence like this, where many other game much loved single and double A series have fallen by the wayside since the days of the PlayStation 2, is a great sense is a great sign that there's still faith in expensive games without the absolute top level brand value of value of the industry's bigger boys. God, what a lot of bullshit this person's writing. So this article talks about. Just fucking get to the point. Jesus Christ. See, that's what this is. What I like. You know, I do like Games Radar, but Jesus Christ, whoever's written this, just stop with the bullshit. Just get to the fucking point. Beyond that, it's absolutely should not be forgotten that Avalanche remains a resolutely independent, self-owned AAA studio. Those are a depressingly rarity these days. Well, yeah, no shit, because you have to have the money to make the games, and then once you've made the game, it has to make a profit. If it doesn't make a profit, your studio closes, and everyone loses their jobs, basically. And this is happening with newer and newer consoles, because it requires so much money and time and people power to basically to make these games. So if we don't get that, then basically you've got fuck all. Bizarre Creations, Free Radical Design, Pandemic. This is far, far too long by now. I miss Bizarre Creations, and I had worked. I had worried that Avalanche might be going the same way. The studio's 2015 Mad Max tie-in looks excellent. God, I'm so not interested in fucking Mad Max. But this is an official film license being made on behalf of a vast of multimedia behalf of a vast multimedia empire in the shape of Warner Brothers. That's often the sort of game that acts as a stepping stone to buyout and absorption, but it seems that Avalanche has definitely avoided the path. It seems like everyone's going to be owned by Warner Brothers or Disney in the future when it comes to everything. Warner Brothers buying, owning DC, and you've got Disney owning Marvel, and you've got, all the Disney owning Star Wars, and you've got, it's weird shit going on. Mad Max is also being made by Warner Brothers. Just Cause 3, assuming it's definitely exists, because it's almost certainly does, is being made by Square Enix. So made for Square Enix. And in the middle, separated from both, is Avalanche still doing its own thing and still getting the massive funding and support it needs to keep doing its own thing. In Europe, of all places, not even the mighty IO Interactive have managed that heady feat, having been bought by Eidos in 2004 and swallowed by Square Enix in 2009. Wow, has it been that long already? Strong work, Avalanche. Strong work indeed. Keep it up, guys. Blah, 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 blah. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. I want to say who's wrote this fucking article, because Jesus Christ. Okay, that guy. But yeah, I'm looking forward to a Just Cause 3. I mean, I'm a big fan of Just Cause 2. I mean, I did play Just Cause 1. I did have it. I bought it when it came out. I didn't play too much of it. I did, I had loads of fun with it because it's a great big sandbox game. But I completed like Just Cause 2 like twice. Such a, I think I tried to do it a third time, but then I was like playing other stuff. But just so much stuff to be done and, fun to be had. Here we go. Yeah, this is something I wanted to talk about a few weeks ago. I completely forgot about this. This is from Eurogamer. Don't be surprised that 2.2% of free-to-play players spend money. A recent survey of 10 million mobile gamers claimed only 2.2% of the free-to-play audience spent any money at all. That's worrying. Does it mean developers are deliberately designing games to cater for a minuscule minority rather than the vast majority? This is a flawed and misleading assumption rooting in pre-digital thinking, answered Nicholas Lovell, owner of Games Brief, a free-to-play focused games business sites. It's based on thinking that a person who does not pay is barely better than a pirate, and even an evil freeloader who must be made to pay or else. Free-to-play design assumes that the majority of people will never pay, and that's okay. They will be happy to wait rather than accelerate. They will choose not to spend money on wearables or standard items. They will play the core experience, not every last faucet of the game. These freeloaders are nevertheless vital to the success of your first free-to-play game. They provide context for the spending amongst the most committed fans. Some of them dip in and dip out, while others are massively committed in time terms, but not in money terms, and that's okay. Think of an energy mechanic in such a game, a resource that depletes as you play, and you can play. You can either pay to refill it or wait a day to refill it slowly for free. God, it's a long-ass fucking article. I might just sort of cut this bullshit down. But yeah, I understand that basically there isn't that many, as it says, there isn't that many people playing to play free-to-play. I mean, this sort of does actually harping back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, online games where you can sort of level up to get stuff. This, basically, it has the sort of free-to-play method, but it doesn't follow it. It doesn't basically include it, but it sort of follows it slightly, you know. It's sort of free-to-play, but without the incentive of, you know, needing to spend money on buying items. But yeah, I mean, I have played a bunch of like free-to-play games. I mean, most of them have like ad pop-ups and stuff like that. But I mean, some of the stuff that I do see, it's like, I mean, I think there was one called Coindozer, which a bunch of people at me and a bunch of people at work played, and it's basically like the sort of grabbing machine. I think it was like a grabbing machine. I think it was Coin Grab. I don't know, but it was basically an iOS game, and then, it was sort of like you would get these coins that would. I'm trying because it's weird because most of my audience is American. I don't know if they had like, you know, if they go to the beach or, you know, Atlantic City or Jersey Shore. If they had the basic machine, you drop a coin in and it would sort of like pachinko. It like fall it. Come down like to the base, and there'd be like sort of two sort of like shovels that would be pushing it towards a big pile of coins at the front, and basically, you know, it'd fall off one ledge, hit, you know, sort of be squashed into another bunch of coins, and then whatever were left would fall off, and then you could sort of keep playing and try and get more money that way. I don't know, you know, I don't know if there's, you know, because I know going down the beach at South End and stuff, we had tons of these machines, and I think I broke one once. But yeah, it's like, you know, sort of like that. And it was a fun game, and you could spend real money to get more coins to get these items. Because basically, when you're playing this, there was items that you could get, and it would unlock bonuses and stuff like this. And you know, I mean, I played the games like what the hell's the game? Infinity Blade. There we go. And I did pay some money to get more coins so I could actually get the better items because it was taking fucking forever. I mean, I have no problem people buying stuff like this. I mean, it's up to, you know, it's your money, you know. And to be honest, if they're not selling, it does make, you know, this sort of article will make the people who do make these free to play games actually think. It's like, maybe we should just make a game and then charge £5, $7 or $8 for it, because we know it will guarantee it'll make money. But you've got to have the word of mouth, the traffic, and, you know, all the attention from, you know, people like me, the gaming press, you know, the magazines, you know, Eurogamer, IGN, Games Radar, Kotaku, you know, people like that. You need to, you know, sort of get these people involved. I'll go into this. Now, came out today. Yesterday, there was a stabbing in Leeds, which is a sort of middle of the country sort of city. Basically where a teacher was stabbed. But this is from Eurogamer. Newspaper report linking stabbing of Leeds teacher to Dark Souls disputed. Daily Mail article singles out From Software's Medieval Fantasy. A newspaper report linking the stabbing of a Leeds teacher to video game Dark Souls has been disputed. Today in the... I'm on the Eurogame thing, and basically the ad that popped up for the CVG stuff, it was the Kinect Sports Rivals, It's right on the right hand side of the page, and it's like there's no, they're just showing it. There's no audio or anything. I was like, yeah, this is how you do fucking ads. You don't have it pop up like fucking, ugh, fucking CVG, you're a bunch of cunts. I'll carry on, but sorry, back to the article. Yeah, and yes, today the Daily Mail ran a report with a headline saying that the 15-year-old accused of stabbing his teacher, 61-year-old Anne Maguire, to death, was obsessed with online video game where a lone cursed character travels through a fantasy world killing others. The video game, the report said, was From Software's Dark Souls. In the second paragraph of the report, the Daily Mail describes the schoolboy as a depressed loner who spent long periods online playing ultra-violent video games. It continues with the following caption. Gamer, the teenage suspect accused of stabbing a teacher to death, his teacher, was a fan of Dark Souls, a fantasy game where players kill others to survive. But yeah, that could be any fucking game. Further down the report, underneath an embedded video of Dark Souls 2's launch trailer, the Daily Mail quotes a fellow pupil who said he had gone through several stages of depression and used to be on antidepressants. He also said that he threatened to commit suicide after reported he had been bullied. Now, the Association for UK Interactive Entertainment, which represents the video game industry in the UK, disputed Daily Mail's report. UK's IE chairman Andy Payne told Eurogamer, the killing of Anne Maguire is both incredibly shocking and tragic. Our sympathy goes out to the families involved, and words are never enough on these occasions. And thus, we can only offer any heartfelt condolences to Mrs. Maguire's family and friends. This is, however, there is no evidence that links video games with violence, no matter what publications such as the Daily Mail, a newspaper published in the UK, may infer. From the report, Daily Mail cites drink, drugs, and bullying to be factors in the life of a 15-year-old boy accused of the killing. It may also be pointed out that there are obligations and allegations attributed to fellow classmates of the accused. Dark Souls publisher Namco Bandai. I haven't even got this wrong. Bandai Namco. It's Namco Bandai. Declined to comment. A cursory investigation by Eurogamer showed the accused also liked Crash Bandicoot on Facebook and shared content related to Minecraft, Injustice, Gods Among Us, Rayman, Fiesta Run, Cut the Rope 2, and the Family Guy game, and Top Gear, Raise the Stig, among others, on other social networks. This isn't the first time the Daily Mail and other UK newspapers have singled out a video game in stories about real-life violence. And the issue of video games and violence is one of the that continues to generate headlines in the UK media as well as the US media. I mean, we had that. Was it the kid who shot him? Was it one of the fucking school shootings who like shot his mother and then killed a bunch of people and killed himself? Probably. I don't know. Fucking all these American school shootings are the same. It's like, you know, they all blame video games, and it's like, yeah, I think they started blaming Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto or something for this shit. But it's like, these people are so stupid. They have no clue. These papers, it's like, oh, evil video games. Ooh. It's like, no, it's because the fucking kid was a mental case. Basically, yes, I know it's very sad that this woman lost her life. But, I mean, you know, the kid was a fucking nut job. You know, and obviously off his meds. And yeah, depression, being bullied. You're a teenager. You go to school. It happens. You just fucking man up and you push through it, because when you get into the big wide world, there are better people out there. I mean, I was fucking depressed at school. You know, my parents getting divorced and all this sort of bullshit I had to go through. But you know, I pushed fucking through it. Got a job. Got tons of friends now. I'm doing this show. You know, I've been traveling all around the world. I've got friends all around the world. I mean, I've got a global listening audience. What the fuck have I got to be depressed about? You know, it's just, you know, this kid is a teenager. It's hormones, all this bullshit going on. And, you know, now he's probably going to be in prison for the rest of his life. But yeah, so I've got some more stuff on this article. In December 2014, UK tabloids The Sun and The Daily Express blamed Call of Duty and Dynasty Warriors, respectively, for a tragic US school massacre. Well, that's pretty much bullshit because I don't think many people still play Dynasty Warriors outside of Japan. Well, we've got Call of Duty, whatever. They blame all sorts of shit. In September 2013, respected research outfit YouGov conducted a poll on exactly who thinks, perceived effect of violent video games, and found that 61% of Britons who answered yes or no, or not maybe, believe video games could be a cause of real-world aggression. 57% believe that video games could be a useful outlet for frustration and aggression. Digging into the statistics, older people and people with no gaming experience thought the worst of video games. Of course they do, because they don't fucking understand. Whereas younger people who play video games thought the opposite, of course. I mean, just I play, you know, shooters and stuff. It's a way of letting out aggression. And, you know, these older people have no clue because, literally, unless you've actually experienced playing computer games, you have no voice, no leg to stand on. I mean, what was it with the back of the whole sex box scandal? I mean, they were saying about, there was this woman on, I think it was like Fox News, I'm not sure if it was Fox News, so no one takes it seriously. And was moaning about how, the Mass Effect was Star Wars meets Debbie Does Dallas, even though she hadn't played a game. And, you know, these people have no clue whatsoever, and they just like to stick their nose in because they think they know something when they know fuck all. It's just useless, ignorant arseholes. Let's try and find something to make this something better. Let's have a look. Here we go. We'll talk about the TV shows for the Xbox. This is from CVG. Gears of War, Fable TV shows teased for Xbox originals. Forza, State of Decay and Age of Empires also hinted in video reel, according to report. Microsoft has hinted that its Xbox originals production will eventually include shows based on its other video game IP, which is basically why they bought out Gears of War off Unreal I'm drawing a blank on the people who made the Gears of War. I can't think of it right now. My brains are a fuck up. According to Shaq News, the company received recently held a media event to highlight the first batch of Xbox original titles due to be released from June onwards. At the end of this conference, a sizzle video was then reportedly shown, which stated that a number of other Microsoft games will eventually be made into TV series. The games that define us will become the stories. Stories that thrill us. What the fuck is wrong with my voice? I don't know. I need a reboot. Read a message in the video, which then showed clips of Gears of War, Fable, State of Decay, which would be pretty good actually. I mean, to be honest, we have State of Decay. It's called fucking The Walking Dead. Forza Motorsport. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Age of Empires, which would be interesting. But thing is, it's called Game of Thrones. The Gears of War one would be pretty good. And Fable, I mean, I don't know. Could you do a Fable TV series? Xbox Originals, which will begin in June. The first batch of shows will include a Halo television series done by Steven Spielberg and a football show called Every Street United, starring Thierry Henry and Edgar Davis. Yeah, that'd be fucking interesting. The Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival will also be featured throughout June, while later in the year a series called Signal to Noise will offer a number of technology-based documentaries, include the one about the recent ET landfill excavation. So we're getting, a bunch of shit. I mean, the Gears of War show would be pretty interesting, but I'm watching a bunch of stuff. I've talked about it on the show. The Metal Gear Solid, not Metal Gear Solid, what the fuck am I talking about? Mortal Kombat, there we go. The Mortal Kombat series. I'm waiting for a new one of them. I mean, hopefully we get the third series soon, hopefully, or next year. I don't know, I have to look that up. When did we get that? Was it last year? So maybe we might get it this year. But this, if the shows are good and decent, I know I'll be able to find them online somewhere, so I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, watching them on the Xbox. But if they do well, they'll do well. If not, they'll just die. I mean, just it's kind of fun. It's like what I read earlier about Nintendo. They want to basically they want to be something that's more than video games, whereas you have Microsoft doing something which is more than video games. But to be honest, though, I mean, we'll have to wait for the outcome to see what we're getting. I just don't think it's going to work, to be honest. I really don't. I mean, because it is basically just the console manufacturers looking for another way to make money out of this stuff. You know, get people buying more consoles. But, you know, whatever. But so I've got this, one of the final articles tonight before I shut down and everything. This is from Games Radar, by the way. Could Uncharted 4 be in trouble? Signs point to yes. Something's going down behind closed doors at Naughty Dog, and it doesn't bode well. It all started with the departure of Amy Hennig in March, who had been the writer and director of the Uncharted series. She's now working on the unannounced Star Wars project at Visceral Games. Later that month, Justin Richmond, the game director on the upcoming Uncharted game for PlayStation 4, left Naughty Dog for Riot Games. I'm going to interject slightly, because I'm like, they're very negative to what this, you know, you've got all these people leaving, but I'd say, like, I think, to be honest, I mean, considering that how many years they've had the new dev kits for the PlayStation 4, I mean, I'm going to say that most of the game must be done by now, because I want to see, you know, I mean, I want to see what we're going to get at E3. I mean, we're bound to be getting something for Uncharted 4, but we know it's coming, so basically it's in development, and it'll be good no matter what we get. I mean, to be honest, it says, yeah, Amy Hennig, she used to be the writer and director. The story's already written, all they've got to do is make it, you know. And that doesn't, you know, if the story's written, it doesn't require, and to be honest, these people who've worked with Amy for a while will know what she's on about, even when she's not there. And no doubt they're probably sort of, you know, phoning her up, saying, well, what did you mean about this? You know, trying to get, you know, not secrets, but, you know, updated information. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Today we're here. We're hit with one two punch of troubling Naughty Dog news. Nate Wells, the lead artist on The Last of Us, is moving to indie developer Giant Sparrow, and the only known character confirmed for the Uncharted confirmed for Uncharted PlayStation 4 has been recast following the departure of writer and actor Todd Stashwick. Stashwick, who will be joining Hennig at Visceral. It all begs the question, just what in the hell is going on over there? Yeah, it really does, to be honest. Without an inside source, I can't say for sure, but my guess is that Uncharted 4 on PlayStation 3, on PlayStation 4, is the cause of the turmoil within the development staff. In a blog post from November of last year, Naughty Dog's community strategist, Arnie Mayer, wrote that Amy Hennig, Justin Richman, and the team are hard at work on the amazing new installment of the Uncharted series to be released exclusively on PlayStation 4. Adding, we can confirm that the voiceover is performed by Todd Stashwick, and he will play a character in the game. 6 months later, every team member mentioned in the statement, all of them playing an integral role in Uncharted on PlayStation 4, is now gone. People typically don't depart a company in short succession when they're satisfied with their job. For that many creative leads to jump ship within the same 2 month span can't be a good sign, and may indicate internal conflict over the direction of Uncharted for Sony's newest console. Perhaps demands were made of the project that Hennig and Richmond couldn't agree with. Hennig has been with the series since its inception, so her to leave so abruptly could be an indication that something is going very wrong. Or maybe achieving Uncharted's signature set pieces on the PlayStation 4 is proving to be a insurmountable challenge. After Uncharted 2 hit it big, co-leaked designer Richard LeMunchand revealed that The set pieces took much longer to create and polish than we'd anticipated. But between the scale of the project and the frame rate issues that we need to dig, need to be ironed out, Uncharted 2 resulted in a soul-crushing crunch period at Naughty Dog. Realised just how big of a game it was, a game we had bitten off, and we were either going to have to chew extra hard or make some cuts choke. Perhaps that same excruciating amount of demand is being made of the current Uncharted staff, enough to make sure make some team members reach their breaking point. Regardless, if you were hoping for Uncharted 4 on PlayStation within a year, you should probably temper your expectations. Yeah, I agree. I mean, just I'm not in a hurry. I mean, I'd like to play it when it does come out, but I'm not fussed. I mean, as long as it comes out and it's still good and everyone seems to like it, then I'll pick it up. Okay, I'm reading this article. This all feels deja vu. A company going through team-wide exodus right after coming off a widely popular AAA game. It was only this past February that Irrational Games disintegrated following the success of Bioshock Infinite, a move that stunned many gamers in appreciating the creative tolls that come with developing big name games for years at a time. With Naughty Dog's current sales of status of affairs, it seems to be to me like half a year's work at least of the fourth Uncharted installment may all be but abandoned. If the people still working at Naughty Dog want to shake off any doom and gloom rumours, they need to hit E3 2014 hard with some Uncharted info that's more substantial than a teaser trailer. When game development veterans like Amy Hennig exit a project on unclear terms, it's bound to create a crisis of confidence of the game's currently in development. And the thought of Naughty Dog losing its footing after putting out GamesRadar's best game of 2013 is troubling indeed. Yeah, it really is, because if the studio does collapse, then basically we get no more Uncharted games, and we lose that possible Last of Us sequel. But I mean, John, if they're finding it hard, then they need maybe more staff, better staff. I mean, just there's plenty more writers out there that can do stuff to help whatever it is they want to do. It's just basically a matter of fact of just, looking, basically. All right, let's find something else. I've got a few minutes left. I'll try and get some more articles, sort of console-specific articles. Let's have a look. Nope, don't want that. Nope, don't want that. Here we go. Science. It's trying to find something that's... Here we go. Yeah. Because I talked about this a little while ago. I think it was like last week or week before. About the sales for the Microsoft... units shipped. Microsoft, 1.2 million Xbox One sales in... what the fuck's that? Financial year quarter three, which is basically $5.6 billion profit. That's quite nice. Platform holder reports Q3 revenues topping $20 billion. Microsoft reported that profits of around $5.66 billion for the third quarter of its fiscal year. Quarter which ended in March of this year. Yes. Revenues in the quarter were roughly $20.40 billion, during which the firm sold 2 million Xbox consoles total, with Xbox One accounting for 1.2 million sales at 1.2 million. So does that mean that they sold 1.2 million Xboxes, like Xbox Ones? That's not many, considering that, how many PlayStation 4 have sold. I mean, it's literally like sort of 5-1 in favour of PlayStation 4. The device and consumer hardware division, which umbrellas Xbox, clocked revenues of $1.7 billion in the quarter and $8.19 billion in the 9 months ended March 31st, up from 1.4 billion and 5.29 billion, respectively, the prior year. This quarter results demonstrate the strength of our business as well as opportunities we see in the mobile first cloud world. Cloud first world, said Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella in a prepared statement. We are making good progress in our consumer services like Bing and Office 365 Home, and our commercial customers continue to embrace our cloud solutions. Both position as well for the long-term growth. We are focused on executing rapidly and delivering bold, innovative products that people will love to use. Microsoft last week announced that Xbox One shipments have exceeded 5 million units since its launch in November, but held off releasing actual sales figures. The number is 2 million short of the 7 million PlayStation 4 units Sony has says it has sold through to consumers since its release in November. Just scroll down. Yep. Microsoft said that 11,000 Xbox One units were sold in the US in the month of March, putting its latest system 60% ahead of the Xbox 360 at the same point. Well, of course it will be, because, you know, if your Xbox 360 breaks with the Xbox One out there, who's going to want to buy a new 360 when you can just go and buy the new hotness, basically? At the same point in respective life cycles, despite remaining second to PlayStation 4 in the US hardware sales charts for three consecutive months. So basically, you know, Microsoft is selling them, but just not as many as they would have liked, really. This pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thank you all for listening and for downloading. For more downloads of this and, you know, all the shows on the station, go to morelikeradio.org or, you know, look us up on iTunes, leave us a review. It's really good. But I say, you know, as usual, you can interact with the show, you know, anytime you want. Give us a call, you know, Andy Social Game Radio, add that to your Skype contacts. You can also contact us on Twitter, MLR Gamer Radio. Also, facebook.com/AntiSocialGamerRadio. It's our Facebook page. I sort of message, you know, I put news articles and bits and pieces up on that and, you know, interact with all the audience. Give us a like, it'd be nice. Also, you could join our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. But yeah, that's pretty much it for this week. But I say, you know, Kevin for Alcohol by Volume is coming up next. And don't forget, also, you know, with the new shows we have Cut Print Film on Twitter, and also at Shy Kids Podcast. Very, very good shows, very, very funny, and they are a brilliant addition to the station, and they are going to fit in really well, because we're all a bunch of twisted, sick fuck-ups, and, you know, so are they. But no, as I also follow my new Twitter, at MLR Memes. I'll try and, you know, try and pretend to be funny and entertain people with whatever meme I can think of. But yeah, so next week's topic is going to be on sort of I can't fucking speak. I'm seriously losing my bloody mind. Vehicle-based combat. There we go. Trying to do the posh word. Yeah, vehicle-based combat in sort of multiplayer games, Titanfall. You know, what with the new console generation, what would we like to see? I do have an idea for another topic about maybe like... yeah, we had as I said in the article about the ET excavation, like we had the gaming crash. Are we on the verge of another one? That could be one for maybe the topic for the week after. I would love all your information, so input into that. So, you know, email us, tweet us, you know, get involved. But so I've been Ashley, as I always am, and have been for nearly 30 years. And this, you know, this is Antisocial Game Radio, finishing up another show for another week, even though it's only Tuesday. But so coming up next, Alcohol by Volume with Kevin, with Unsigned Hyped just afterwards. And then you have, Moons Over My Hammy or Royce Over My Hammy? I don't know. Ham and Royce finishing up the show because Dutch is still in the big house. And I will see you all again next week. Take care, people.
think fucking Ashley brought anything to the table?
My God, yeah, what a sure. bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast, or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate or good.